Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. It's been a busy week, my friends. How about you? By the way, to all my friends in the L.A. area, I'll be doing a conference on Calvinism, guiding you through Calvin's maze, beginning Friday evening at 7 p.m. for the Liberty Baptist Church in Norwalk, California, under Pastor Max Graves. And I hope to see you there. New evidence. Why are the Dems pressing McConnell on whether he will allow new evidence to be heard in the Senate trial? How about let's just have some evidence, all right? How about we hear from Trump's accuser? Who is the whistleblower? You know, his name is out there. The impeachment parade of clowns. Now, that had to be the most foolish nonsense I've ever watched. Pelosi and these jackals yuck it up while Pelosi makes a mockery of signing the articles of impeachment. Smiling, you probably saw it, smiling, almost giggling. And then they all pose for pictures with their souvenir impeachment pin after signing. Wow. Afterwards, they march to the Senate chambers, all officious and somber. Oh, God help us, these people are so pathetic. What exactly is their game plan for November? Iran protesters went to the streets against Soleimani. Yeah, kicking his picture. You saw the little video clip there? Tearing it down as onlookers cheered and jeered Soleimani's remembrance. God protect these brave Iranians. Earlier, Iranian officials set the Israeli and U.S. flag next to each other in the street and encouraged Iranians to walk on those flags, spit on them, that kind of thing. But amazing, most refused to walk on the American flag. Once again, the Obama crowd abandons the brave Iranians who protest against their murderous regime and refuse to acknowledge them, but then attack Trump for taking out Soleimani, supposedly because he did not get Congress approval before authorizing the strike. What a bunch of hypocrites. Obama took out Osama, al-Awlaki, and Gaddafi without congressional approval. Crickets from Congress back then. Osama was a washed-up has-been. Al-Awlaki was a current threat, I guess, but we weren't told about any intel indicating an imminent attack. Gaddafi was no threat to the United States at all. Reagan took care of that. But anyway, these Democrats are delusional. First, they block a resolution to condemn... the Democrat-controlled House blocked a resolution to condemn Iran for murdering protesters and shooting down that passenger plane. And then Pelosi, their feckless leader, accuses McConnell of being a Russian asset? Well, what is she, an Iranian asset? Here you go. A climate change advocate reveals the true heart of the movement, of the environmentalism movement. He said with the extinction of humans, all other species will have a chance to survive and revive and recuperate and so on. American schools teaching Buddhist meditation to students. But we want them to allow Bible reading in schools, right? Hope I get to that. The Dems are angling for a way to spark an armed resistance against God-fearing patriots. It's Bernie's revolution, really the anti-revolution, and it's rising up among the children of disobedience in an effort to undo the Declaration, to undo liberty and justice for all, to take this nation out from under God by force. And the powder keg is set to explode in Virginia. Again, Virginia. So let's look at that today, my friends. It is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
You know, I'm going to take a moment to shine some light on the spirit of environmentalism. Les Knight founded what's called the Voluntary Human Extinction Movement. If you think he should be dismissed as a crackpot, well, you're right. But there are a whole lot of cracked pots following him. This guy raises millions for his movement, and in truth, he simply is saying out loud what many in the environmentalist movement say to one another and believe secretly. Not all are so radical as this character, but they all do share a common belief. Humans are bad for the planet. The environment needs to be protected from humans. The fewer humans, the better. Knight said, quote, 50 years ago, I concluded that the best thing for the planet would be a peaceful phase-out of human existence. We're causing the extinction of hundreds of thousands of other species. With us gone, I believe ecosystems will be restored and there will be enough of everything. No more fighting over resources, end quote. You know what interests me in this is the rattle of the serpent that is discernible in the rhetoric of this environmentalist, and really from statements made by many in that movement. Incoming brilliant missile of insight aimed straight at your head, and it's on target to explode another demon nest hiding in liberal minds. Okay. The liberal view of environmentalism is in direct opposition to the creator of this planet. When God created Adam and Eve, he expressly gave to man something called the dominion. This was control over the resources of the planet Earth, and man was instructed to subdue the Earth. And the word translated subdue is kibosh. You've heard of putting the kibosh on something or the kibosh on something? It means to bring it under the control or to take it into subjection with the idea of using its resources to benefit mankind. You know, God intended that man would make the environment serve him. Obviously, to do that, to make the environment serve his needs, well, he would need to tend it, to till the ground, as the Bible puts it. Men subdue nature when they, well, rip up weeds, for example, and plant fruitful seed. And they tend the ground when they thin forests and plant more trees to use the lumber to build shelter. And you get the point. Now, obviously, man must be a good steward of that over which he has been given dominion. Well, listen, Satan hates God and hates man. Hates you, by the way. Don't let him fool you. God gave to man what he coveted. That is what Satan coveted, the image and likeness of God. And he put the earth under man's dominion. Now, Satan wants to destroy mankind. That's his goal. He has come close a couple of times, but God in his mercy intervened by his grace. Satan wants to destroy all mankind, and he is full of devilish wiles to get it done. He is represented in Scripture as a serpent, a bull, a goat, a fly. And in every culture, he is worshipped in nature. Notice that? In trees, in dirt, and all manner of bugs. Satan is worshipped by men bowing down to nature, kneeling down in front of trees or things made from trees and rocks, and worshipping gods that represent various aspects of nature. Satan turns the heart of man to worship nature instead of nature's God. The environmentalist movement is another manifestation of that same spirit, the Antichrist spirit of Satan attempting to subordinate man to nature, to reverse the divinely appointed order, to make man subservient to the creature rather than to the creator, to literally reverse the ordinance of God. It's another voice in the clamoring choir of Satan's rage against God and mankind, which God loves. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. It's like Satan positions himself as an advocate for nature against its creator. And the offense was that God put nature under the foot of man and at the mercy of men. And you hear it in Knight's rhetoric. 50 years ago, he said, I concluded that the best thing for the planet would be a peaceful phase-out of human existence. Man, is that Satan's agenda or what? He said, we're causing the extinction of hundreds of thousands of other species. And then with us gone, I believe ecosystems will be restored and there will be enough of everything. No more fighting over resources and so on. And you remember, I've said it often, every war fought on the planet has been a battle between kingdoms or nations over control of its resources or the dominion. God's children assert their dominion privilege as under God, as a gift from their creator, like their inalienable rights. Those who are under the influence of Satan move to take control of the earth's resources by force or by violence. And this is what Jesus was pointing out when he said, the violent take the kingdom of heaven, which is the dominion, God's rule over the earth. They take it by force. Wars are the result of one nation attempting to take by force what God has given to another people. He who rules in the kingdoms of men gives the kingdom to whomever he chooses. The aggressor, on the other hand, takes by force what God has given to the defenders by divine decree. Now, we are all given by God inalienable rights, and among them, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the right to subdue our peace of the earth as God ordained, and this includes the right to defend ourselves against those who would violently attempt to usurp our rights to drive us into slavery to themselves and or to nature. And they usually get us into slavery through subordinating us to nature. Isn't it interesting that the devil's crowd always resorts to violence to subjugate God's people to their will and to the service of their silly and ridiculous and evil whims? My new book, God's War, explains all of this in great detail. Get it on Amazon or from our bookstore. Perhaps you think this is out there, you know? Well, it is, to be sure. It really is out there. From Washington Times, quote, a Project Veritas video released Tuesday showed a man identified as a campaign organizer for Democratic presidential hopeful Senator Bernard Sanders saying, quote, cities burn, end quote, if President Trump wins election, and predicting violence against police at the 2020 Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee. And the article goes on to reveal, when he was asked what would happen if Mr. Trump is reelected, the man described as Sanders' campaign field organizer, Kyle Jurek, said, quote, effing cities burn, adding, I mean, we don't have a lot of time left. We have to save effing human civilization. That's the way these people talk. In the undercover video, the first in the Project Veritas Exposed 2020 series, he also expressed support for ideological re-education of Trump voters, compared such Americans, that is Trump voters, to Nazis, praised Soviet-style gulags, and predicted police would be beaten in riots at the party convention. Mark Levin, God bless him, aired some of this on his show recently, and I was shocked at how blatant this guy is. This guy is a campaign worker for Bernie Sanders, Communist Bernie. Beginning to get the picture? It's bizarre that Kyle Jurek, campaign worker for Bernie Sanders, would talk about re-education camps for Trump supporters and then call them Nazis, that is, call the Trump supporters Nazis, in the same breath. It's bizarre. You know, only one power can account for such twisted logic, and that is the power of darkness, Satan. Stabbing his forked tongue into the minds of these loons and scrambling their brains and draining out all common sense and logic. Anyway, it's time for a short break. Go buy my new book, God's War. If you can spell masseur, you can get a 20% discount. Really? Type masseur in the coupon field and you get a 20% discount off the already discounted price of our book in the bookstore. Go to www.booksatdbp.com. I'll be right back.
The battle for America is on. Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and the Bible says, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Satan is the spirit of Antichrist, the end-time tyrant that will rule the world with death. America is divided between those who follow the spirit of liberty and those who follow the spirit of tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ or the spirit of Antichrist? Which will it be? Election 2020 will decide whether America continues as one nation under God or falls fully into the power of the spirit of tyranny. God's War, why Christians should rule the world. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the king and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as king. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his spirit into the world, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Free the world from the spirit of tyranny. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, today. Go to www.books@dbp.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. You all watched or heard about the Democrats' parade of clowns. I watched that farce, and farce it was. I mean, it had a pathetic air of dramatic comedy, easily mistaken for a high school horseplay and mockery, complete with a crude characterization of somber seriousness, all framed within a perfectly ludicrous and improbable situation, namely, the impeachment of a president that has done more for the restoration of our liberties, sanctity of life, and the economy than any in my rather extensive memory, including what I know about history, and for nothing. For having done nothing wrong. Anyway, Pelosi and the jackals surrounding her are seen yucking it up while she signs the articles of impeachment, smiling, almost giggling. And then they all pose for pictures with their souvenir impeachment pins after the signing. It's unbelievable. Now, after that, they assemble for the parade. They march to the Senate chambers with officious cadence and somber expressions on every face. Oh, God help us. What exactly is their game plan for November? They can't expect to win any God-fearing patriots' vote. It is clear that they despise Trump voters. They know his base of support comes from the evangelical right, and they are full of anger and bitterness and violence is in their hearts. Listen to them. Just listen to what they're saying and understand why we must win in November. If you thought the 2016 was a big one, my friend, this is very likely even a more serious election. Hillary declares that Christians are simply going to have to change their beliefs to accommodate the progressive religion of political correctness. Schumer derides people of faith. He explains support for Trump as coming from people who grew up learning Bible story fairy tales. He said, show me someone who believes in Noah's Ark and I'll show you a Trump supporter. AOC called Christianity a superstition. And none of these people would ever dare say anything derogatory against Obama's beloved Muslims. And they're all good with Buddhist chants being taught in our public schools. How do you explain this irrational hatred for the religion that gave birth to liberty in the hearts of our founders? What accounts for their open hostility against the only religion the world has ever known that espouses all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights? What can explain why an entire political party in America would turn on the founding principles of liberty and justice for all? The declaration that all men are created equal, the principles of equal justice under the law, the ideal that a man is innocent until proven guilty, the ideal that the accused has a right to face his accusers, all of these things and many other cherished ideals of American values and culture are being trampled upon by the same people who encourage our flag to be disrespected and our faith to be despised. Violence is in their heart, and it is their way. Jesus said it. He said, the violent take the kingdom authority by force. That Bernie campaign operative I mentioned in the last segment, who advocated for Trump supporters to be herded into re-education camps, who actually justified the use of gulags, who said, quote, violence is the only thing they understand, end quote. I'm telling you, wake up. These people are preparing to take America by force. You know, here's basically the message coming from the left today. If you don't give us power, if you refuse to cede to our demands for power, we're going to take it by force. They'll steal it through fraudulent elections and they'll take it by force of arms. The spirit moving their movement is the spirit of Antichrist. It's against God, against Christ, against Christians. And if you do not yield to their demands, they resort to violence. Those of us of the spirit of Jesus Christ do not take the kingdom by force, but we will defend our liberties from the use of force to take them away. The battle for America is on. And all God-fearing patriots are called into duty. Support candidates like Andy Caldwell here in California, in our area in Santa Maria. Support David Nunez. We do have a little light remaining in this dark state. Anyway, I need to move toward a wrap for this show, and I wanted to get into the Virginia thing. You know, I thought that might die down by now. That surely the governor in that state would realize that, what was it, 90 out of 95 counties in his state have risen up in opposition to his effort to encroach on the liberties of Virginians. There is a long history of resistance to tyrants in that state, my friend, really in all of America. But tyranny is arrogant. All tyrants throughout history, check your history, finally come to their end because of their arrogance and their overreach. Now, I'm not going to have the time I intended to use to offer some detail regarding the backdrop to all of this, but it's about to explode. So for those who have no background on what's going on, in brief, Governor Northam of Virginia is a radical liberal Democrat who wants to take guns from law-abiding citizens in Virginia. Now, he's going to say, nah, I don't want it. Yes, that is what he wants to do. He wants to disarm patriots. Recently, Democrats won both houses of the General Assembly in Virginia, and now together they're moving with that governor on their gun-grabbing agenda. Senate Bill number 16 by Democrat Saslaw imposes, listen to this, a 5-year prison sentence on Virginians who own semi-automatic rifles with features that facilitate accuracy, even pistol grips that facilitate a firm grip on the gun. Prison, 5 years. Now, this reverses a tradition of Second Amendment freedoms in Virginia ever since Jamestown was settled in 1607. Virginians can't even own flare launchers. Are you kidding me? I thought California was bad. And it is. Anyway, that's the issue. I've read that 90 of 95 counties have risen up against the Democrats of Virginia. And why they voted these devils into office is another question. Something to think about coming into 2020, let me tell you. I'm reading here in Washington Times that, quote, throughout the Commonwealth, around 100 counties and cities have reacted by declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries. And this is becoming a national trend, by the way. May it come to California. The governor has threatened, quote, consequences, end quote, if law enforcement in these cities refuse to enforce his draconian Second Amendment rights infringement laws. At some point, someone is going to have to stand up under the ultimate law of the land, the Constitution, and push back against these communists. So that brings up the question of a Christian's duty in situations like these. Well, first of all, it's a simple answer, really. But Christians who have only a superficial understanding of what the Bible teaches on this subject have complicated it so that many Christians believe the Bible teaches pacifism, by the way, and it does not. They think Christians are supposed to lay down and let the world trample all over them. And the Bible does not teach that. However, if Jesus casts the savorless salt into the street, then Christ, the King, will bring the heel of the wicked upon our necks. And if we don't straighten up our act, that can happen to us. We better get the salt and light out there and not be savorless. But remember, when Paul was imprisoned unjustly, he protested and claimed the protections of the laws of the land. He rebuked rulers that violated his rights under the law. Certainly, it's true he did not take up arms against the government, nor did he encourage his fellow Christians to do so. But that was under a rule of law that did not afford this right to Christians. Now, you got to follow this carefully. You'll misunderstand me. Of course, some of you will misunderstand me anyway, no matter what I say. But anyway, Christ is King of all the earth. And he said he would give the kingdom, the dominion, the right to rule under Christ, to the nation that brought forth the fruit of the kingdom, which is repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. America is such a nation. She was founded upon the declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord on the gospel, and a nation that has risen up upon the foundation of Bible and Christianity, and that does recognize the people's inalienable and divine right, among other things, to protect their lives and their property and their liberties. The law of this land acknowledges our inalienable right to keep and bear arms. That is a salient point here. And the right to use them to defend ourselves against tyrants, specifically, that would take by force our liberties from us. Friend, that's the American way. We asserted our rights against a tyrant who presumed to attack us and then to attempt to enslave us by force of violence. And the entire Revolutionary War, listen, was a defensive action against a tyrant. We didn't attack Britain. Britain attacked us. And that's, listen, this thing, this whole scenario is brewing again in Virginia. And over the same issue, old King George tried to confiscate our guns. As for Christians being martyrs, indeed, where in the conduct of preaching the gospel someone takes our life, we will be faithful martyrs. But Christians are not the world's sheep to feed the appetite of tyrants. We are Christ's sheep, not theirs. And these sheep are of another breed altogether, friend. Read Revelation 4, where you read about the Lamb of God that roars as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we're born of that stock. We are lambs that roar, harmless as doves, but fierce in fight as those that rise up on eagle's wings. Jesus said, get a sword. We must obey Christ the King over Satan's men who would tell us we can't have one. Shall we obey God or men? You know the answer to that. Exhaust every lawful avenue for redress of our grievances, but the line is drawn at our sacred liberties. Do not attack, but do not back down. Do not think you will prevail if you assume to take the kingdom by force. That's their game, friend. That is the spirit of Antichrist. It is the way of the violent. On the other hand, do not shrink from your duty as a God-fearing patriot to stand firm in the assertion of your rights as endowed to you by your Creator. Friend, Christians don't die on a cross to save sinners from their sin. Jesus did that, and He did it once for all. We don't die for anybody's atonement. We die to self on that same cross that Jesus died to save us, that we might live for Him in this world. We present ourselves to Him a living sacrifice, not a dead one. We mean no harm to any. Peace, goodwill toward men. That's our mission and our message. But Jesus said, get a sword, boys. You're going to need one. And a sword is not used to butter your bread. It is used to defend your life and your liberty against those who would unlawfully take it. Ours is a country of laws ordained by God and not a country governed by the whims and fancies of silly men who think making people helpless somehow makes the criminal harmless. Everyone knows that is nonsense, and they know it too. It is impossible to believe they are that stupid, and they're not. They are guided by a very wily coyote indeed. Devilish wisdom, which comes from below, sensual, evil, wicked. Satan wants to disarm Christians so he can enslave them. Stand. Don't attack, but be ever ready to defend. Falwell's son has come out and said, right out loud in front of God and everybody, that if the governor in his state moves forward on his plan, he will call for civil disobedience. It's heating up in Virginia, my friends. Let that governor know you are watching and praying for your fellow patriots here. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you call, let me know you see they're on. 1-805-314-2114 is our listener response hotline. Leave a message there for me. If you want me to call back, let me know and I will. Email me. Go to our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button and send me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
The battle for America is on. Jesus sent His Spirit into the world. And the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Satan is the spirit of Antichrist, the end-time tyrant that will rule the world with death. America is divided between those who follow the spirit of liberty and those who follow the spirit of tyranny. The spirit of Jesus Christ or the spirit of Antichrist? Which will it be? Election 2020 will decide whether America continues as one nation under God or falls fully into the power of the spirit of tyranny. Tune in Saturday at 12 noon